Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Racial survival is the necessary basis for having a future. If we as a people make money our primary value in life, our race, our people will die. Eventually, circumstances or enemies will force us to choose between continued prosperity and the things that are essential for our people's racial, biological survival. And if we choose money and prosperity and give up the essentials we need for survival, like an exclusive territory for our people alone, or a government answerable to our people alone, our people will die. It may seem ironic, but if we make safety our primary value in life, our people will die. At some future time, a more daring people, coveting our land or our wealth, will make a credible threat that we can't safely counter. We'll have to choose between potentially dying for our people's future freedom, or a safe surrender, and a slavery we imagine will be safe. It won't be. Competition between peoples for land and resources is never chivalrous, nor peaceful, nor humanitarian, though some pretend that it is. Once we surrender to an implacable alien enemy not of our own race, our people will die. Once they have the whip hand over us, they will grind us into the bloody dirt while laughing at our cowardice and our scruples. Only those willing to fight, to risk it all for racial survival, have any chance of continued life. If we make Jesus our primary value in life, our people will die. The Jesus myth tells us it is what we believe that defines our group, that defines what we really are. So if Maxine Waters says she believes in Jesus, she is one of us. If a Jew or a Black or a Mestizo or anyone else just repeats the right Bible verses, then there is no difference between us and them. And even thinking that there might be differences, important differences, is a terrible sin. Human groups that don't make their own biological survival into a high and unquestionable value tend to disappear. The religions that sprang from Judaism are anti-racial religions. They make it an article of faith that race doesn't matter, and that it is of no consequence if your grandchildren are not of your race, as long as they believe the right things. Islam and Christianity are acids that dissolve races and nations. We must think of ourselves as white people. And we should put race, which is what we actually are, higher in our scale of values than money, higher than religion, higher than what we believe. After all, mere belief has no physical existence whatever. It is an epiphenomenon of the functioning of our minds. It is often transient, changing many times over the course of a lifetime, and sometimes changing in the course of hours or minutes. We live in a world of matter and energy, and the divine, the truth, and the upward path of cosmic evolution leading to the discovery of that truth lies not in Abrahamic scrolls, born of the bizarre and alien superstitions and hatreds of the ancient Middle East. No. But within the mathematical and physical and evolutionary reality of the past, present, and future of the universe, and is discoverable through the scientific method applied by the minds of the best of our evolving race. Most importantly, the truly divine path is also the path of the upward development of our race. The current limitations on our knowledge are not limits or faults of the scientific method, but are instead the current limits of the human brain, which even among our best minds is still just beginning to evolve above the primordial swamps from which it has risen. You might make an analogy and say that we are but a millimeter above those swamps now as we begin a journey to the stars. You could couch that analogy in religious terms, if that helps you understand it better. A journey to God instead of a journey to the stars. Respect for God's will versus respect for nature's laws. Call it God or destiny or nature, but understand that our uniquely beautiful and creative race must survive and progress if our lives are to have any meaning at all. The National Alliance unites into one community those who understand this truth, those who are determined to restore and augment and make absolutely impregnable the racial basis of society. We also want to go beyond the vision of racial preservation that our forefathers partially understood. Based on what we have learned from our great men of science and philosophy, from Darwin to Peirce, we believe we can and should enter an era of racial progress. How differently we see the world compared to the near suicidal Christian conservative Zionists, like the late Ed McAteer, who once said, quote, "God gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people, every grain of sand between the Dead Sea, the Jordan River, and the Mediterranean Sea belongs to the Jews." Close quote. Not a word about any land, anywhere, belonging to white people, or any other people for that matter. How differently we see the world compared with the Christian conservative Zionists like John Hagee, who said to a Jewish interviewer, quote, "We are Gentiles. We don't have a covenant. You have a covenant. We don't. And that's the only way we get plugged in to have eternal life." Close quote. The only meaning and the only hope for us, according to Hagee and his ilk, is in a subservient role to the Jews. These liars have deceived our people so that we and our wealth and all our work and the blood of our sons and daughters are totally in the service of the Middle Eastern parasite. How many have died in the endless wars for Israel in the Middle East? How much of our wealth has flowed to the parasitic state over the last 70 years? No people could tolerate such deception and destruction for long. We in the National Alliance are working for the day when we will no longer tolerate it. There are a few, a very few, racially conscious white Christian churches. But given the nature of their creed, based on the Jewish Bible, how can such a church prevent its elders from diving into Scripture and, as many others have done, discovering the Jewish roots of Christianity and completely changing the principles on which the pro-white church was founded? A similar thing happened to the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa. That church had long supported the freedom and independence of the Afrikaner people who made up its membership. It was a bulwark of white racial survival and the survival of white civilization on the Dark Continent. It fully supported the apartheid or separate development policy of the South African government, which was an absolute necessity for white survival there. Despite all the economic pressures of the Jews, who control the financial establishment of the West, to destroy white South Africa, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood firm, white South Africa survived. Despite the assassination of South Africa's great leader, Dr. Verwoerd, in 1966. As long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood firm, white South Africa survived. Despite the institution of Jewish television programming in South Africa in 1975, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood firm, white South Africa survived. Despite the fact that the Jewish Oppenheimer family was long the most powerful economic entity in South Africa, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood up for apartheid, white South Africa survived. Despite the screaming, spitting, and 24/7 vilification of South Africa for decades by the Jewish media in the West, and the resultant institution of crippling state sanctions on that country, which went on for many years. As long as the Dutch Reformed Church supported white survival, South Africans did not bend, and they maintained their freedom and independence. But as soon as the leaders of the Dutch Reformed Church had a new revelation and declared that the teachings of their church had been wrong for 400 years and that the races were equal after all, the South African people gave up their country voluntarily and voted for a new constitution which guaranteed them slavery, savagery, and murder on a scale that boggles the mind, and which also guarantees their extinction as a people, unless a radical change in consciousness occurs there soon. And something similar happened to the Mormon Church a few years ago. Their doctrines had long favored white people almost exclusively. Some of their religious writings discussed this explicitly. With minuscule exceptions, only whites were proselytized, and only whites could be leaders of the church. But one day, a new revelation occurred, and the leaders of the church magically discovered that the old interpretation of sacred scripture was wrong, and they declared that overnight their racial policy was to be reversed. Thereafter, non-whites could become church leaders, and non-white countries were to become the focus of missionary efforts. Now, it really does not matter much if the new revelations that occurred in the Mormon Church and the Dutch Reformed Church were the results of naive faith, creeping secularism, outside pressure, or bundles of Jewish cash. The fact is, they occurred. And the only thing that could possibly have stopped them from occurring was if the leaders of those churches and of those societies had put race first and made racial survival a non-negotiable principle that could never be changed. No church, except the cosmotheist church, does that. Making anything except racial survival the highest value of your society is dangerous. Making economic principles, whether of the egalitarian socialist or rapacious capitalist variety, your highest value is a danger to the race. The state bureaucrats who thrive under the current system love dependent people who always vote to give the bureaucrats more power. And who is more dependent and politically dependable than the black and mestizo underclass? The rapacious capitalists love cheap labor and a dumbed-down consumer class, which is very susceptible to mass marketing techniques. Who fits those profiles better than the same underclass beloved of the bureaucrats? Who ships factories to China's and Mexico's slave labor pens? And who brings non-whites to work in their chicken rendering plants and agribusinesses by the millions? Yes, basing your society on money can be fatal to your people too. We must make racial survival and racial progress the two most important principles of the state. And we should all put our shoulders to the wheel and sacrifice until it hurts in the cause of building a white community, which will someday gain the power to secure a free and independent state exclusively for the benefit and interests of white people. Without such a state, we all die, and our children suffer and disappear into the enslaved and degraded masses of the Jewish global plantation. We must begin where the founding fathers of the United States left off, and make the racial basis of our society even more explicit, far more explicit than they did. Racial preservation and racial progress must be made the first principles of our new Constitution, and those principles must not ever be subject to amendment. No revelation, no sentiment, nothing must ever be allowed to change them. Of course, a constitution is just a piece of paper. It means nothing without a strong community dedicated to its principles and willing to die rather than see it overthrown. We are building that community in the National Alliance.